might be.
Jump on your bike, let's hit the road. Put the 5-0, man, we out of control. Bad motherfucker, riding through the night. I'm with you, motherfucker, and I love you. Come on, Mike. Picture me running on my chopper on red. No love for the other friend, don't need to be friends. The gas, homie, you gotta keep that feeling. Get an out, kid, just to open your ass. Put me at the ticket, man, I ain't gonna pay. Another 230 days, I'm done with CK. Twist the throttle, let's get the rolling. My track like I'm a bike, get the flowin'.
Hello, everybody. Bill's on his way. He got stuck in traffic, but I'm going to play another song while I'm waiting for my callers. This one's called, this one actually is my Mike P, the big homie, and this one's called One Percenter. I'll be right back after this song. I got a couple things that had firewalls I got to change out.
Thank you.
waiting for, they're going to call in about Counts for Autism, and they should be calling here shortly. And like I said, Bill got stuck in traffic. He's on his way. My voice is kind of out of it because I got a bad cold, so I'm going to, I got another request to play that rant, and this guy's talking to Obama. So let me play this. You guys might enjoy this. And I'm answering a couple of requests for this, so here we go. This is, what's the government's credit score?
This is to the government, the United States government. Yo, $14.6 trillion, B. All my credit cards would have been cut off a long time before that. All I'm asking y'all to do is balance a fucking budget, B. That's all y'all got to do. Son, we voted for y'all because we were worried about gay rights, marijuana getting legalized, all of these other things that we were concerned about. How can we get roads, more money for schools? You bastards can't even balance a checkbook. A checkbook, B? This is something every American has to go through every week. We got to figure out what we're going to pay, what we got to put off a little bit. You bastards got the $14.6 trillion before you realize, oh, shit, we've reached the debt ceiling. Listen, you're the best and the brightest. Harvard, Yale, Brown, Cornell, this is what we put out. Should have went to Norfolk State. Bastards, you would have got the same education. You would have spent a whole lot less money. Simple fucks. All I'm saying to you is, and this isn't personal, this isn't Democratic or Republican, this is everybody. Stop being a dickhead and balance the fucking budget. My second question, though, my second issue is, how the fuck do you owe China, B? How you owe China? How can I tell my daughter with a straight face that capitalism is a better system than communism if we're borrowing all of our fucking money from the biggest communist country on the fucking planet? You ass, get your, stop your life, B. Get your whole shit together. Get all of your shit together. Don't do another press conference. Fuck CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Don't do any more television appearances until you got my fucking budget balanced. And I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you this. Everybody who has a loan to the federal government, fuck paying it. Don't pay your budget. Don't pay your bills because they ain't paying theirs. The fuck I got to pay my bills for if you don't pay your bills? I'm not doing what you don't do. You're the leader. I'm following. You don't pay, I don't pay. How about that, simple motherfuckers? What is your credit score? What's the government's credit score right now? It's got to be a 350. But you motherfuckers going to tell me I can't buy a car if my credit score is at a certain number? Your whole life is a 350, B. Your FICO score, your Experian, fucking TransUnion, all your shit's low, B. Get your shit together. President Obama, personal to you, all the black people was proud. We got a black president. You acting like one right now, B. Pay your fucking bills on time. Stop. I ain't even got, it's too fucking hot for me to talk. I'm sweating and shit. Shit got me sweating. You know why? Because y'all ain't paid a fucking light bill on Earth. That's why 37 fucking states right now going through a heat wave. Because not only y'all not pay the fucking Chinese, y'all didn't pay the fucking light. Do you see how fucking hot it is? I'm fucking, I'm pissed the fuck. I can't.
Ah! And then I got a request for this one. This is the many uses of the word. Well, I'll let it tell its own story here.
Perhaps one of the most interesting words in the English language today is the word fuck. Out of all of the English words that begin with a letter F, fuck is the only word that is referred to as the F word. It's the one magical word. Just by its sound can describe pain, pleasure, hate, and love. Fuck, as most words in the English language, is derived from German, the word frichen, which means to strike. In English, fuck falls into many grammatical categories. As a transitive verb, for instance, John fucked Shirley. As an intransitive verb, Shirley fucks. Its meaning is not always sexual. It can be used as an adjective, such as John's doing all the fucking work. As part of an adverb, Shirley talks too fucking much. As an adverb enhancing an adjective, Shirley is fucking beautiful. As a noun, I don't give a fuck. As part of a word, abso-fucking-lutely, or in-fucking-credible. And as almost every word in a sentence, fuck the fucking fuckers. As you must realize, there aren't too many words with the versatility of fuck, as in these examples describing situations such as fraud, I got fucked at the used car lot, dismay, oh fuck it, trouble, I guess I'm really fucked now, aggression, don't fuck with me, buddy, difficulty, I don't understand this fucking question, inquiry, who the fuck was that, dissatisfaction, I don't like what the fuck is going on here. Incompetence. He's a fuck off. Dismissal. Why don't you go outside and play hide and go fuck yourself? I'm sure you can think of many more examples. With all of these multi-purpose applications, how can anyone be offended when you use the word? We say, use this unique, flexible word more often in your daily speech. It will identify the quality of your character immediately. Say it loudly and proudly. Fuck you! Perhaps one of the most interesting...
Yeah, this is getting educational tonight, Sherry. But, and then the other thing I wanted to talk about was, I don't know if many people know this, but I just put it up there, but what I'm going to do is I'll get that. I got a message that there's the number of dead U.S. soldiers. Let me see here real quick. Yeah, the number of dead U.S. soldiers ending up in a landfill. Like, what the fuck's going on here? 274 soldiers' remains were thrown into a Virginia dump site. Full compromised 976 body fragments, says mortuary records. The number of dead U.S. soldiers whose remains were dumped in a landfill has been revealed and is much higher than the military already originally admitted. The Army had initially said it was unable to tell how many of the soldiers' bodies repatriated from Iraq and Afghanistan have been part of the process that's been a national scandal for America. But now it's revealed that the remains of at least 274 troops comprising 976 body fragments could not be identified or later recovered from the battlefield were incinerated and sent to a landfill, site in Virginia, operated by Waste Management. The families of the dead had authorized the military to dispose of the remains respectfully and with dignity. However, the relatives were completely unaware that the remains were being dumped in a landfill while the landfill site was not informed that they were being thrown away. The Dover Mortuary changed its policy to burying parts at sea in June 2008. The figures come from a report based on information from a database at the mortuary where the remains of the most were dead returned. According to the Washington Post, Air Force officials claim they don't know when the practice began, but that its first record of such a procedure was on February 23, 2004. The secretive practice, which ran for 5 years between 2003 and 2008, when the remains in the, of some of the 6,300 soldiers passed through Dover Air Base Mortuary. The scandal is the latest to hit the military base, which receives all America's war dead and prepares them for burial. It was earlier revealed that the body parts belonged to the deceased soldiers and were lost or sawed off without the family's permission. A damning report found that an arm bone belonging to a dead Marine was hacked off without asking his parents by staff at Dover Air Force Base in Delaware. An ankle and some soft tissue went unaccounted for due to gross mismanagement and may have been mixed in with the remains of other soldiers. Whistleblowers also claimed that the fetal remains a dependence of military personnel was shipped from Germany back to the U.S. in cardboard boxes that had already been used. The scandal at Dover Air Force Base began after complaints by three whistleblowers, civilians who worked as embalmers or technicians, so sparked an 18-month investigation by the Air Force Inspector General. A separate probe was carried out by the Office of Special Counsel, an independent federal investigative agency who looks into claims by the whistleblowers. And this is fucked up. The investigation did not discover what happened to them, but raised the possibility they fell out of the plastic bags where they were being stored in the morgue refrigerator and got mixed in with the remains of others. The whistleblowers also drew attention to shipping of fetal remains belonging to relatives of military personnel back in the U.S. Instead of being transported in more dignified aluminum cases, they were shipped in reused cardboard boxes. I don't know if anybody's getting as pissed off as I am about hearing about this, but what the fuck? There are also cases of remains being removed without family's consent or graves left empty when they should have remains in them. The cemetery is considered sacred ground and has been the final resting place of the nation's veterans since 1864. And we're talking about Arlington National Cemetery. They had 211 graves which were mislabeled or containing the wrong person's remains. More than 300,000 servicemen and women are buried there. General Norton Schwartz, the chief of the Air Force, the chief of staff for the Air Force, apologized for the mistakes made at Dover. He said, "We understand the obligation of his work, the sanctity of his work, the need for reverence, and the need for dignity and respect of our fallen. Yesterday they were our sons and daughters. An Army and FBI probe is still investigating the outrage hallowed at our most hallowed military ground." I'm just reading some of the comments here. One person said, "And they gave their lives for our country beyond disgusting. I honestly think they would have been given more dignified burial by the enemy. This is a disgrace. I have to say that my husband is in the military, and based on how the living military members get treated, I can't say this surprises me. Sad, very sad at best. Why would the families of these brave soldiers allow the military to dispose of the remains of their sons and daughters? Either way, what a complete disgrace, and those who did nothing should thoroughly be ashamed of themselves." Yeah, to me, this is something you can't make up, even in a horror story. It's unbelievable. But if anybody wants to call in about and talk about this, the call in number is 347-826-7753. Hello, caller from 267.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, it's Alicia. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Okay. All right. That's a pretty sad story. Are you there?
Yeah, you got a lot of sound in the background.
Oh, okay. This might be the TV. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Is that better?
Quieter, yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's pretty sick, that story.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how you been?
We're doing good. I just got a cold. Right. Other than that, I'm all right. But yeah, this has got me. I'm like totally pissed right now.
How did they find that? Just a whistleblower?
Yeah, embalmers. Wow. And there was a couple of embalmers, and they hang on. I can tell you exactly. And the whistleblowers, and one guy was, and one, two whistleblowers, they were civilians, and one guy was an embalmer.
Wow. That's a shame. Well, I hope people are outraged over this.
I hope so, too.
Yeah. So how was Thanksgiving for you?
Everything was good. I took the day off.
Did you?
Yeah, we didn't do the show. I just let the archive from the other night play.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, it's been a while since I called in, so.
Mhm. Yeah, and I just got sent this story, and I saw something about it the other day, but I didn't think about it to go look, and somebody sent it to me that's in the chat room, and that was Sherry from Dresden, Tennessee, and I appreciate that. But, yeah, I'm going to post this on the blog later.
Okay.
Which, by the way, I got 40,000 hits today. Well, actually, 39,732.
Wow. Wow, that's a lot. Yeah. So did you guys went out to see the veterans, though?
Yeah, you were a hit with the veterans. It was great. They wanted to see more.
Oh, good. Okay, well, I'll definitely send some more out to you then. Yeah, we're putting the finishing touches on the calendar also, so that should be ready in the next week. But what we decided to do is for every calendar that we sell, we're going to put $1 aside and we're going to send it to whatever VA hospital, or, you know, if you want, we can, you know, send you the money if you want to, you know, give it to the VA hospital out there. But that's what we plan to do with the sales of the sale of the calendar.
Yeah, we want, well, what I would suggest is you go to the Wounded Warriors Fund.
Okay.
And we can
definitely do that.
And that takes care of all the guys. Everybody gets a piece of that.
Oh, okay. So
it's just one group. Everybody gets hooked up.
Oh, they distribute it then? Okay.
Yes.
All right, good. All right, that's good. Yeah, then that's what we'll do then. Yeah, but I'll definitely send out more pictures. We'll print them out again, and I'll autograph them so you can send them or give them out again. That's good. I hope it does help.
Mhm. And then, hello. Oh, we got someone on Skype. Let me bring them in, and then we'll go back to what you were talking about.
Okay.
You're on Skype. You're live right now. I can hear you. Just listen in. It might be your Skype. It might be knocking you out. I'm going to mute you, and then we'll come back to you in a little bit. So, Alicia, maybe you want to introduce yourself and tell everybody who you are.
Okay. I'm Alicia Pleasure, and I am modeling, and I'm doing some adult films. I think the last time we talked, I had just come back from Miami. I did a couple movies with the Square Group. And in 2 weeks, I'm going to be doing a photo shoot with a men's magazine. So that should be fun. That should be coming out next year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just the beginning of that. And I have a fan club, Alicia Pleasure Fan Club, at gmail.com. And the website is Alicia Pleasure Entertainment. .com if anybody wants to go out there and see that. And just, you know, trying to get some things together, some videos, and, you know, the calendar, working on that.
Mm-hmm.
And just trying to keep busy doing all that stuff and focusing on the holidays.
Yeah.
So,
I'm going to put your link up in the chat room right now.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate that.
Worries, and then I got a couple of people that are going to call in. I had somebody going to call in at 6:20, but they were there, but they hung up, so I'm going to go back to them in a minute.
Oh, okay.
They were going to talk about they're doing this thing for autism this weekend.
Oh, wow.
They're getting, you know, people with autism, they're getting them jobs, and they were going to call in and talk about that, and they're having a fundraiser Saturday night. And then and the thing we had talked about with the bike, it's still up in the air because Bill's brother, he had to go to Arizona, but once we find out what's going on, I'll keep you in the loop on that one. But we have that chopper that's in the shop.
Yeah, we had a couple people back away from that, so yeah, we're still looking for one. So if you we just actually heard from somebody from Italy who wants to do it, so it's really far-reaching, I'll tell you. But, yeah, keep us in the loop about the one that you have.
Yeah, that's right here. That's right here on the coast.
Okay. So what's the autism, what is it? It's a fundraiser on Saturday. Where's that? I'm assuming it's out there.
It's in San Diego, but they were going to call in, but what I can do here, hang on a second, let's see if I can do this. We have the ability to call them, so let me see if I can get them.
Oh, okay.
Hi, is this Carly? Carly's husband?
No, this is Jeff. This is Jeff. I heard you. You couldn't hear me. This is Jeff from Jobs for Autism. How you doing?
Good. Yeah, you tried to call me on Skype?
No, not on Skype. I was just on a regular phone, and I heard everything, but you couldn't hear me. I didn't want to interrupt you there. Anyway, yeah, I appreciate you mentioning what we're doing. This is Jobs for Autism, and what we do is try to, you know, people think that people who have autism, young kids, teenagers, whatever, that they can't do anything. They could put pencils in a box. That's the only kind of job they could do. I have a 26-year-old son. When he was 3, 4 and diagnosed, they told me he wouldn't be able to read, write, do anything. And that's what they'll tell you in the schools, you know, in the system and all that, and the doctors. And, you know, it's like if you have two arms missing, all right, you're not going to play the piano. But if you're artistic, there's different degrees. There's different things you could do. And, you know, one of the things was the entertainment industry. There's a lot of jobs on movie sets. Some of them are good musicians. There's a software company that's out now. They don't hire anybody except autistic people. Because what they do is they get obsessed. They get focused on the task, which is why I thought, hey, repairing Harley Davidsons. If you train somebody to be a Harley mechanic who's autistic, they're not going to worry about getting into disputes with other workers or anything like that. They come in, they do their job like a machine. And that's what they do. But people don't realize it because they don't get a chance. So my job's for autism. We're trying to spread awareness, and we've been doing that by putting on concerts. People that are not just anybody, but people that are, you know, good people who really kind of back the cause. And we have Lucas Nelson, who's Willie Nelson's son, who I never even heard of till September when someone gave us free tickets to see him in San Diego. I was so blown away by the guy. And I mean, I've seen Jimi Hendrix play. I've seen the best of the best. And this guy is like a combination of Willie Nelson and Jimi Hendrix. He was on Jimmy Kimmel last night, and it blew him away. So we're going to put him on Saturday at the North Park Theater in San Diego, and it's going to be an amazing show. His band's called Promise of the Real. Really good people. Like I say, it's amazing someone 22-year-old could play guitar like that. I'm not just talking about he's a decent guitar player, you know. And we're also going to open the show with a band of four 17-year-old autistic musicians, two guitars, the keyboards, and the drums. They got a little band called the Kingsmen, and they're going to open our show. It's going to be really great, so if any of you could join us, anybody from this show, we appreciate what you guys did, putting our stuff up on your blog. Kennedy did that. That's what we talked originally, I guess, and man, it was great. Went up in 5 minutes, and that's really cool, and we really appreciate it, and you know, we're going to respond, if it's okay with you, by putting you as a friend of Jobs for Autism. Our website is www.jobsforautism.com. I'm a Harley rider myself, and, you know, motorcycles are one thing. Repairing them, maintaining them, that's one area where it's ripe. If we can get some people to do a little bit of training, you know, you got the best employee you could ever have, and then you take these people off the public dole, and they're not burdens on society or their family, and they can be productive, and yeah, they're just productive citizens then, and it benefits everybody, you know. So that's what we're trying to do, and anybody wants our help on anything, just come to our website at any time. I'm the founder of it. My name's Jeff, and I'll be glad to, you know, help you or set you right. Or we've got a lot of people now that are willing to come in and help and do training and all that. So, and it touches everybody. I'll bet you anyone you talk to, either you got a son or daughter who's autistic, or you got a nephew or niece or a relative, everybody. It's almost like 100% of the people that I talk to know of somebody in their family that's got an autism situation. So, and yeah, I've got
a lot of people don't understand that bikers have the same problems that everybody else has.
That's right. Everybody. I was just going to tell you that. That's a good point, because I know two people on the Forbes billionaire list. And they got also the same thing. We start talking, and yeah, oh, my son's at this place in Texas. He's autistic. Or, you know, we didn't know what to do with him. And, you know, it doesn't, nobody's exempt from it. You know, whether you're a billionaire, biker billionaire, or whatever you are, man, it affects everybody. And that's what we're trying to get across. And, you know, come to our concert. There's going to be some really good people there. As I said, anybody listen to your show, your website, or anything, just if you want to buy a ticket online on our website, use the code BLAST, B-L-A-S-T, and it's going to be $10 off the ticket, okay? So we'd love for you guys to join us out there. We'd love for you to join us, and it's going to be really, look, if you come to our website, you can see some videos of him, or go to his website, and as I said, he was on Jimmy Kimmel last night, blew him away, but you really, he was softened up a little bit. The guy is like an amazing musician. It'd be one of the best shows, could be talking about it. I mean, he's played 300 shows last year, and he's got a following because people, not just because of who his dad is. In fact, we can't even advertise that he's Willie Nelson's son because he wants to make it on his own. But, you know, we could talk about it, and we're allowed to talk about it, like, on the air, like now and so forth. But the guy is amazing. Sounds a little bit like Willie when he sings, but he plays like Jimi Hendrix. and it's just got a great band. It's going to be an amazing show. I don't think anybody likes any kind of rock music is not going to like this. You know, if you like guitar, you like Hendrix, you like Willie, you like country, you like rock, this guy is like the perfect blend of everything, brings everybody together, and that's why he's perfect for us, because we're trying to bring people together to just get a positive atmosphere out there and a positive feeling for everybody to realize that people with autism could do a lot more than they're given credit for. Don't take what the schools tell you. Don't take what the doctors tell you. I know for a fact, other people know for a fact, and that's what we're trying to spread. So anybody listens to your show here, anybody we could help, send them to our website. I'll be glad to talk to anybody anytime.
Since you brought that up, we have the lady on the phone. Her name is Alicia. She's out of she's out of Pennsylvania. She is. She has
a
very unique website. Yeah.
I'm from back east myself. I'm from the Bronx, New York.
Oh, okay. All right. Do you have anything out here that's like this, or you're only on the West Coast? Because I think that's.
I've been living in California for years. I was a lawyer out here for many years, and went to law school here and all that. But I'm originally from the Bronx. Grew up there.
Okay, but I mean,
what I wanted to do, Jeff. I was going to introduce you to Alicia, and two, does some very unique things. And this is just to show you the versatility of our show. Alicia sent me some pictures to take down to the VA, and which I did, and she was a big hit there. But I'll let Alicia tell you a little bit about herself and what her site is.
That would be great, Alicia. I'd like to hear it.
Yeah, okay. Well, my site, talking about different factors and different, genres, I do modeling and I do adult film. And, what you're saying is, I think, is a really good program. Everybody does know somebody who has autism. And you're absolutely right. The doctors do give you a diagnosis, and you got to kind of go with it. And you have to fight with the teachers, in the schools and stuff like that. And I think teachers need to be a little bit more educated than they are right now, on just dealing with autistic kids. But I think that's great. I just wish something out here, like on the East Coast, that people would do that more.
Hey, Alicia, one thing that you just said, Alicia, is something that we have actually put up on our website. We put that on Facebook and told people that. It's we got to educate the educators. And that's just what you said, and that's exactly right, because otherwise you just get put on that track and they get nowhere.
Right.
And that's what we're trying to fight.
Right, but the sad point is everybody, I actually had somebody come to the door the other day, and he was for gay rights, and he was the bullying, fighting for bullying for gay rights in school, and I think that's great, but there's also autistic kids that get bullied also, and the teachers kind of turn their backs to that, and they're left, I think the kids are kind of left by themselves to fend for themselves, and, bullying isn't just for, overweight children or gay children. It's bullying is bullying, and it's just that I really think that the teachers, the educators do need to be more educated. And, everybody sits there and says there's no tolerance policy. And I don't see it. I don't. I the stories that you hear, they make you cringe because they can talk a good talk, but that's about all they do. They don't help the kids that are autistic that are being picked on, and that just that bugs me. It's just there's no reason for that.
That's a good point. Great point.
Excuse me for 1 second. Man.
Hey, Phil.
Hey, you got a lot of background noise.
Well, the thing is, let me back over to this corner. Maybe I can get out of the sound a bit. But where I am is I'm up in Oceanside here. Can you hear me better? Okay.
Background noise, but right now we have Jeff on from, he's down in San Diego. He's talking about autism. We have Alicia calling in from Pennsylvania. She's talking about things she does, and we're having a good conversation going about how people are getting treated about autism.
Well, I was just going to ask that those people that are out there in Oceanside, if they can drop by and on the street fair here and drop off a pair of socks for our military, it'd be a great thing. I wish I was someplace more quiet to talk about what's on the line with autism. Very misunderstood, and there's a lot of things that can be done. Patience is one of them. But at this point, anyone that's out there in Oceanside, kind of stop by and drop off a pair of socks. That'd be wonderful. Also, I do expect to see you on the 18th, my darling. I dropped off your bundles. I did that today.
Your cohort is sitting here next to me. He just arrived.
I just slid in. My mom over to her eye doctor. 2 hours.
2 hours?
You know, 2 hours, for God's sake. But I got her home, blah, 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 and I'm back. I'm glad you'll be up here on the 18th, friend. Friend, where are you located in Oceanside exactly? Because I know anything about this program you're talking about.
This is...
downtown or what?
Where are we in Oceanside? We're on the radio. Pierview and Coast Highway. We're next to the information booth. Most main street, Oceanside. And
okay.
It's the Soldier Angel, and we're looking for socks, granola bars, toothpaste. So if anyone's out there from Oceanside, do stop by.
How long are you going to be there tonight, friend?
I have to head back because I have some work that I have to do.
Uh-huh.
But,
how about the program? How long will it be set up for?
How long are you set up for? They're here till 9 o'clock.
Okay.
And then they'll be here back again next week. And they still, if they can drop the stuff off by next week, they can still get those packages sent out to our military. We have T-shirts, sweatshirts. We got little duckies. We have all kinds of little duckies. So we have all kinds of different things. We even have a military cookbook.
Fran, listen to me. The program on Tuesday by himself. Maybe get one of the people down there to call in on Tuesday and talk about this.
Okay.
In nearby the PR department.
Okay, I'll have her call on Tuesday night.
Okay.
To talk about it.
Okay.
Excellent. I'm going to hang up now.
Hey, I'll be by next week to drop this is Jeff on the line here. I'll be by next week to drop something off. Can't make it in now because we're trying to get the show on the road, but we'll be by next week for sure. All right. Good luck.
Okay, what I want to tell
you,
Jeff, is on the 18th of December, Bill's going to have what they call the yearly thing, which gets done for, it's called the big cover-up. What Fran is doing along with that for the military is we do for the homeless and the homeless vets. We get socks, blankets,
shoes, jackets,
whatever you got laying around. Any articles that somebody outgrew or
toddlers, teenagers, adults. We need everything.
Yeah, we got a bunch of stuff, man. We'll get it to you.
Listen, I got to tell you too. The guys that are putting this event on are the Pioneers and the Messengers, two clean and sober clubs. And the Pioneers, they just lost their president 2 weeks ago driving home from work. Bam. Driver took him out. He's dead. So a lot of guys be stopping by, paying their respect to the Pioneers Motorcycle Club here. So Pioneers and Messengers putting on the 18th, Kennedy's Custom Cycles. Come by early, drop some clothes off, or come by around 12 o'clock. We'll have a party for a couple hours, and we'll
hang out,
Brother Beano.
Hang out, get some food.
Yeah, we'll have Brother Beano's not collecting and all with that. Oh, KCEO just called me up. I don't know if I told you. 81,000, they're going to stop by, screwdriver. They're going to donate a cruise for two in the Hornblower down there in San Diego.
Oh, okay.
So they're going to kick that, some movie tickets
dinner,
off and all that.
Dinner cruise.
Dinner cruise, cool, thank you. I didn't know that. They didn't tell me that part. And some movie tickets, of course. That's Steve Beckert, KCO, AM1000. So
okay.
Hopefully some more stuff like
and
that.
And then the pictures, not to switch gears here, but I wanted to let Bill know that the pictures that we gave out at the VA.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Alicia's pictures. Alicia's on the line, Bill, if you'd like
to
say hello to her.
Good evening. How are
you
doing, dear?
Good. How are you?
Well, I apologize for being late tonight. I said I had to run my mom over to an eye doctor in 2 hours.
That's crazy.
But I got her back. We're here and all that. And then I apologize. I feel sorry for all of us out there listening to me because there's so many events going on. We can't make them all. Screwdriver United got 2 last week, 2 next week, and it goes on. Then our event and all that, and then our friends up north.
Yeah, I just got 2 invitations today, Bill. One's to the Roadhouse.
Yeah, I'll talk about that a little bit later on.
And then the other one down at Sweetwater tomorrow or Saturday.
Okay. Yeah, I know this is asking a lot, but if you're in your area, stop by and visit a vet, okay? Stop by a local VA hospital if you can. Say hello to somebody. I know Chris is about the kids and all that, but never for men to forget that there are vets in that VA hospital.
Men and women.
And they're going to be there the rest of their lives.
And just so you guys know, here's your scenario. You get in the parking lot, you get out of your car, and you're walking towards the front of the building. Now, summertime, there's a lot of guys outside in the wheelchair and women.
That's right.
But look them right in the eye. Say hello.
Hey, man, what state are you from?
Exactly.
That's all?
If the guy's missing a limb, shake the nub. Be afraid.
That's good that you guys do that.
Well, the vets came in. Let's talk about the Vietnam vet errors, for example. Those guys came in young, didn't marry. Their parents have passed away. They're going to be at the VA for the rest of their life. The young guys coming in now from Iraq, Iran, God knows where.
Well, Bill,
I'm
here to tell
all
you.
All vets are so
I'm here to tell you. I don't know if you guys heard me when I talked about this. Alicia, I know you did. Jeff, I don't know if you heard this. This is Jeff for the Jobs for Autism. We have
I was picking
line.
The end of the
Hey, Bill, how's it going? Yeah, appreciate it.
What you're doing, buddy. Good for you, buddy. Anything you
And thanks for your help, man. I really appreciate it. As I said, I really appreciate what you guys did. Yeah.
Now, Jeff, I don't know if you heard what I said about the number of dead U.S. soldiers' remains being dumped in a landfill in Virginia. It was revealed.
I heard something like that. Yeah, I vaguely know what you did, but I've heard something independent on that, and it's just a horrible situation. Yeah, there's no question about it, and I don't know. I just don't know what to do about something like that, but yeah, it's bad news.
Yeah, and the other thing is we're involved in, it's called All from the Heart, and what we're doing is we're collecting wheelchairs, whether it's motorized or regular wheelchair, whatever. I know some people, someone passes on, and the thing gets stuck in a corner in the garage or out in the backyard, and if you give it to us, because we'll make arrangements to pick them up. You can
start. Let me start for a second. Last bit we went to, there was a soldier out there, VA. The VA couldn't get him a wheelchair. How quick did they get him help?
What happened was, I'll tell you a quick background on it. What happened was the guy was in the elevator with his daughter and 2 grandchildren, and she was pushing him in the chair. And it was like, up in
Nor
Belinda, he was a big guy, and she was a petite woman. And she had to take breaks because it was getting to her, trying to control the 2 kids and push him at the same time. And the people that this organization that we're involved with, it's called All From the Heart, they happened to be on the elevator. So the guy asked him straight out, he says, well, how long have you been waiting for a wheelchair? He said, 9 months. He said, really? The VA is making you wait that long? He said, yeah. He said, okay. So when they got down to the parking lot, he went to his van and he pulled out a motorized wheelchair, took it over to him and gave it to him.
Wow.
They're in the parking lot in front of the VA. Now, that's the thing that's... Our guys are going and getting hurt and coming back with missing arms, legs, and everything, and they have to wait 9 months to a year. Buried in red tape to get a wheelchair.
Listen, that guy was at the party with us. This guy was on a little electric motor scooter wheelchair. He was everywhere.
Yeah.
He was going from booth to booth to booth because he didn't need somebody to push him. I wish you guys could have seen how happy that guy was. He was offering to race Harleys and everything. For the first time in a long time, he had his independence back.
Yes.
And for God's sakes, any man or woman, we can't turn our back on our vets.
No, and he's also fighting cancer at the same time.
Yeah, I know
that.
That's the stuff. Yeah.
You know, and they do the same. See, that's the thing. When you get to a certain stage with cancer, the VA doesn't. They just don't waste their time anymore. They send you home to die.
Yeah.
They send you home to let your family take care of you. We're supposed to be the greatest country in the world, and we get shit on daily.
Yeah, that's a disgrace. That really is. That's a shame.
Could I ever mention again, because I have a tendency to make this mistake over and over, so I want to apologize. I keep saying the soldier, the man. please, if anybody hears me, just interrupt me and say, Bill, you forgot to mention the women soldiers. I'm just an old guy. I'm just kind of stuck in my mindset. We all got drafted. Today, it's so many women out there losing an arm or leg. So many women getting facial shrapnel, you know, torn apart. With these
Tell them about that girl that talked to you, Bill.
Which one is that?
The one that said nobody would date her.
Oh, yeah. I was giving one of my boring speeches again, and I got lots of boring speeches, everybody. And I was down there talking, and the girl was telling me, you know, Mr. Kennedy, look at me.
And we're
we women can see a man missing an arm or a leg or shrapnel, but based upon his character, based upon his heart, we women can see a whole man there. But you men, you are so hypocrites. Look at my face, Bill. Who's going to take me out? Bill, I have no leg. Who's going to take me dancing? Every one of you guys want to go out with a Bambi, a Barbie doll. We women can see a man in there, and I'm thinking, wow. First of all, I said, why are you picking on me? Well, you're the one here giving the damn speech. So I get yelled at a lot, but reminding everybody, we have women, and it's tough for guys my age to see a woman coming home missing an arm or a leg because I wasn't raised that way. I really, 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 really am old school, and it's just tough for me to see. But I'm extremely proud of everybody's sister, cousin, aunt, mother overseas fighting. I really mean that.
We have...
I'm in the community now.
We have another caller, 760.
That's me. I got knocked off the phone, but I got back on here now. The phone just died when I was trying to say something there. But I'm Jeff again for Jobs for Autism.
Yeah,
Jeff. Yeah. So anyway,
are you on
Skype?
Are you on Skype, Jeff?
Yeah. No, I'm not on Skype. I'm just on a cell phone. But what I wanted to tell you guys, because I got to get rolling here. Number one, besides thanking you for putting our stuff up there, and I hope we could see you at the event. I want what you guys are talking about. In fact, we have a friend. His name is Glenn Randall. He's staying temporarily over at Pendleton right now. He's coming down to the concert. I'm going to introduce him because he's been, I was just telling my friend, he's been to Iraq and Afghanistan as often as I go take a leak. You know, the guy's been done 7-8 times already, and thankfully he's got a nice family, young kids. They just moved him to Hawaii, but he's in town right now, and he's going to be at the concert too. We're going to introduce him. So anything that we could do for you guys, anything with the wheelchairs and stuff like that, I think we should put it on our website as well, which we will. And, you know, look, everybody, somebody's autistic and they have a wheelchair in their garage or whatever, and everybody helps everybody else. That's what we're trying to do. Spread awareness that you don't have to rely on the schools or anybody. Everybody in the community, you know, as I say, you weren't on the line there, Bill, but I was saying one of the things that autistic people can do, that's what we're trying to do, promote the skills they have. Because people don't give them credit for it, and the schools will tell you, you can't do this, you can't do that. And even what Alicia said about the bullying, one of the things that really helps people with autism and Asperger's is martial arts training, you know? So you could actually train a kid or an adult or a teenager with autism or Asperger's in the martial arts, and then he's an instructor. And now you got an autistic instructor that's got a career. He's not on the public dole or anything like that. He's got a productive career. They still have their social issues and things like that affecting personality. But, hey, at least they can fend for themselves. They can support themselves. They can even have a family. I tell a story about this lady, but now she's become famous. When I started talking about her, nobody heard of her. And she used to sit there and watch the cows going to get slaughtered. You know, her name is Temple Grandin. And now they made a movie about her and everything. But 5 years ago at a concert when I talked about her, nobody heard about her. And she got a PhD. She used to just sit there every day for hours and watch the cows getting slaughtered. She's from Colorado, the nurse slaughterhouse. Then she thought, hey, that's pretty inhumane. And, you know, she figured out a better way to do it, and her way is used right now. And this lady teaches college, and she's autistic. Nobody thought she'd amount to anything. So that's what we're trying to do. And
we got some connections with the martial arts.
We got some serious
connections.
Yeah,
we're talking MMA fighters, champions, and everything. So I'll talk to you about that in a phone call. But what time does that event kick off on Saturday? If you can refresh everybody with that, please.
It's 8:30. It's 8:30 at the Birch North Park Theater on University. You know, in North Park. and then
right.
Lucas Nelson and Promise of the Real, that's Willie's son. They're really good people. The guy's going to be big as could be because he's one of the most amazing musicians out there today. And as I said, good people, always willing to do benefits and help, you know, and they're good people to know. So.
I owe them.
What if I can't make that event? Is there any way we can get any information, anybody, so they can send a check or something like that to people?
Well, I got that. I got that, Bill.
Okay,
but the other thing
good.
I was going to
tell
you,
if
it happens that we can't...
In 5 minutes, you put everything on your website. I really thank you. It's amazing you could do that so quick. And, man, anything we could do back for you and all your guys and everything.
That website got 39,732 hits today.
Hope it works out good.
Wow. So
what I'd like
to
do is... If we can't make that event on Saturday, please call in Tuesday and we'll give everybody updates on that.
Because we are stretched as far as all the commitments
and
we have.
In fact, the way that I came across you, Bill, is I needed to get the exhaust on my Harley welded, and I'm getting ridiculous prices, of course, from the dealer and so on and so forth. So I ran into a gentleman named Red, a welder. He fixed the whole thing for $20, and he said, "You got to meet Bill Kennedy." I've been meaning to ride over to your place for 2 months already, and I haven't made it, but I'm glad at least I talked to you now, and I'm sure we'll meet soon.
Where? Red's been a bike for about 30 years, so yeah, I guess he's okay.
Yeah. If you got any problems with anything like that, with the exhaust or anything on a bike that also needs to be welded, call me and I'll send you to somebody else that can do it right that day.
Hey, I'll be by to see you. I've been meaning to do that regardless of this. I didn't even know about any of this. I just was going to go stop by there because he said you were the man in town for if you got a Harley. So, yeah, that's. And then I didn't even realize until my wife called you guys up and he did all this. So I'm glad to see there's people like you out there. You can count on my help. For years, I did free pro bono work for parents, you know, when they're getting stiff by the school system and by the regional center and all that. And, you know, there's only so much I was able to do because once word gets out that somebody's doing free legal work, you get, like, thousands of requests and there's not enough time in the year, you know. So
right, and the other thing I want to tell you was,
yeah.
Yeah, send me some links and I'll put you up in the friends column on the blog page. What happens
we'll
is I'll put up your links
then.
And they'll click your link and it'll take them right to your site.
Okay, we will do the same. And, hey, Alicia... You guys, good luck, and really,
thank
you guys
you.
Are amazing.
You
I'm
too.
Glad I met you all, and it won't be the last time we're talking, okay?
All right,
okay,
thank
good
you.
Good luck on Saturday. Okay.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot. And if you guys could come down, as I say, we'd love to see you and discount, you know, just mention that code BLAST, and we'll take care of you. We'll have a good party after as well. All right?
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, and good luck, man. Thanks a lot. Bye.
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 All right, hello, Steven.
Hi, Phil. Are you there?
Yeah, you said your battery's dying. I'm sorry, but you know when you call here, you should charge your phone.
I'm at a restaurant in Oceanside. Well, it's actually a grill. Ape Hangers.
Right. You're at what we call Ape Hangers?
Yes.
Okay, are you there with Charlie and his wife?
Well, I'm here with Charlie's wife and her husband, Randy.
Okay.
And so I thought I'd call in. This is my first time here. As usual, I'm the last to hear about it. I'm going to let Charlie talk to you, okay?
Well, I have a bone to pick with Charlie.
I want to hear your bone. I want to hear it. I want to
okay,
first of all,
well, Charlie, you sent me a message, and I sent you an email, and I invited you to come on the show, and I never heard back.
I didn't get it. You're lying. Did it really happen?
Well, I sent you an email. I'll send you a copy of it.
I'm going to scour my spam box. Hey, you know, we have a, for the big cover-up, we have a huge box here with a Pioneer Games, right? We have his president with a big picture on him. And
okay.
We need to get stuff, so we bring it out to you guys on the 18th. We want a big old box full of blankets and socks. So.
Yeah, you can. Well, you can bring it down to the shop anytime, and Bill's usually there from 9 to 6.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been meaning to get over there since Bob told us about this, but with all the things going on, we haven't been able to get over there yet.
I asked Bob that if you guys cannot come on the 18th, the representative, that we will be on the mic, excuse me, and we will acknowledge the Ape Hangers and all that. Or if a representative wants to stop on by, we'll put you up on stage on the mic and all that. So whatever you guys feel comfortable with. But you will we do want to thank you. That's the way we thank you, by acknowledging where the restaurant is and all that. Do we have a volunteer that wants to get up and talk, or do you wish us to talk about the restaurant?
Well, I just want to talk to you about whatever. We're going to be out there on the 18th, and we're donating all of our anything we sell out there that day to the fund for the big cover up and the great cover up. We're going to be doing some. We call them our mini baggers, the little sliders with some nachos and whatever, and everything that goes that night, that day, and night will go. Everything will go towards the big cover up. So we'll be out there. We'll be out. Randy will be out there. I'll be holding down the fort here. So.
Do you have any flyers down to the shop, the restaurant?
That's one of the reasons I sent her the email.
Oh, okay, because I'd like
to get one of the flyers to put on the blog for.
And so I can also put some of the flyers up at the motorcycle shop so people coming in.
Right, because the only one we saw was the one Bob had and Bob kept it.
Yeah, I guess they don't care about us. Maybe
I don't think so.
Care about the homeless people, the fact we're out there trying to help the people. I guess maybe they're too busy to help us, maybe.
Hey, Susan said she'd bring you guys some flyers, and you can go on our website. It's at www.8fingersfill.com. Anyone can look on there. Our menu's there. Some cool pictures of people's rides.
Well, we're just giving you a hard time, but we're sincere in what we're saying. And if you guys send me an email with the flyer and a workable link, I'll put it in the friends column. So, like you heard me tell Jeff, they can click on it. It'll take them right to your site.
Awesome. I appreciate it. Hey, and if you guys tell your listeners to come in, you tell your listeners about us, and they mention you guys, we'll give them 10% off their bill.
Well, the other thing that also happens is that blog had 39,732 hits today. So
awesome.
That could have been somewhere between maybe 1,000 to 800 orders for you.
Hey, send them over. We need to
on
buy
the 18th, we'll get on the mic, and like I said, we'll make sure that we invite everybody that wants to run on down and eat some good food. Because I heard you guys get some good barbecue. Is that a story? Is that true?
It's We Rock Barbecue. We have awesome Southern barbecue, and this is how serious we are about having you guys down. Randy sold his bike with big old ape hangers on it to finalize and open the doors to get permits finished off here. So Randy, for the first time, I think, in 40 years, does not have a bike. We are bike-less. And so we have to get a lot of people in here to get back over and buy a bike fast.
Well, we can help you with that.
This is wrong.
In fact, right here, Randy sent, it was Randy's message right here on November 28th. I sent you guys the shirt call in Thursday night. And it says here, Charlie Brown has sent me a message. I'm not giving you a hard time. I'm telling you, maybe we lost it in the transaction here somewhere, but I did answer you back.
They call Charlie the backstage diva.
I am a backseat diva. I don't ride yet. I'm
backseat. I'm sorry.
No, backseat.
I'm looking at this from an angle. I'm sorry. Backseat diva. Pardon me.
Then we have. Hang on 1 second. We have a caller from 514. Are you there?
Yeah. I'm here.
Tell us who you are, where you're from, please.
It's Katie. I'm from Quebec.
How are you? What do you think about anything we've talked about tonight?
The thing about the soldier is pretty sickening, actually.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, hold on 1 second. Charlie, I don't know if you heard that part of the show where I talked about it. The number of dead U.S. soldiers just hit 274 of a total compromised 976 body fragments that was dumped in a Virginia dump site. They weren't buried, they were dumped in the dump.
Oh my God. Well, Randy, I'm in the Air Force, so we are like, that's devastating.
Yeah, because it all happened at Dover Air Force Base. They had three whistleblowers, two were civilians, one was an embalmer, and the other two were technicians.
Oh, my God. How do you sleep at night?
Exactly.
You know, I remember when I first went in, I'm sure you remember when you first went in, they said, if you do this for us and you do that, we're going to take care of you if you get wounded or injured. I don't think anybody's helping me do a damn thing.
Well, I remember distinctly what that DI told me, Bill. Nobody here promised you a rose garden.
Yeah, well. You know, if you listen to today's news, we got a whole bunch of troops going into Africa. I don't know if anybody heard that now. But I was reading the report. But we're not going to fight in Africa. We're just going to try to help the governments locate the guerrillas and terrorists. What the
hell
are we doing? What are we doing in Africa?
What do we do? We don't take over all. What are we doing in Africa? Time and money? Let's go to Africa.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Charlie, what time are you guys open till, and what's the menu like?
We're open till 10 every night, and menu is Southern barbecue. We got smoked brisket, pulled pork, grilled tri-tip. Tonight's what's for dinner. We had a pulled pork taco. Yesterday was the trailer park special with fried bologna and ruffled potato chips. We've got
I'm excited.
Yeah, I heard trailer park special.
He's
I'm
on his way.
Smoked on my Pepsi.
White boy's on his way down there right now.
Hey, Randy just walked in.
Hey.
He's the one keeping everything moving in the back. We have 15 beers on tap. And hopefully at the first of the year, we're going to start a buy field inside the grill where we're going to, and then it gets auctioned off. All proceeds will go to Wounded Warrior. So we'll just keep putting a new bike up on a lift and building it and sending it out. Build it, send it out. And our heart is for our wounded and giving back to our warriors. So that's what we're going to do.
Bill and I just have one question.
What? Only one?
This is very important. Since Bill and I do not drink, do you have cold Pepsi on tap?
Oh, I have Coke products, but I'm a Pepsi girl. I have Coke products.
You have Coke products?
You have Coke products?
Oh, no.
Can we sneak our own Pepsi in?
You so can. You can BYOP.
Okay. Things about you, a bunch of friends of mine, the American Legion riders were down there. They're ranting and raving about the food and the service.
I'm telling you right now, there was nothing better than all those guys. If it was not just that they were all, like, from the American Legion, they were all best, but the best part was all those pipes roaring into our parking lot. It was – I needed a panty liner. I'm sorry. It was that good. It was awesome.
I wanted to cry like a big old baby.
Yeah, he, my big Army Ranger biker guy, was almost going to cry. Just the sound and the guys come in, it was awesome.
Well, Screwdriver and I will probably come in later on nighttime. Screwdriver and I rarely ever go anywhere by ourselves. Soon we hit Oceanside. We're VIPs. We usually get an escort. Is that correct?
That's correct. Lights and sirens.
Sometimes we get a helicopter, but usually we get an escort everywhere we go on Oceanside. We're very VIP. That's courtesy of the OPD, but we'll ease down, please.
Fire department. Get a big fire engine out there.
No, we weren't talking about the fire department. We were talking about the boys in blue.
That's so good.
That'd be a story we could tell you in person.
Great. I want to hear this.
Well, you can ask Susan. She can give you a little background on what really happens.
We are good guys. We just simply believe that everybody should be questioned. And if an officer is overstepping his boundaries, it needs to be brought to attention. Screwdriver and I are not adversarial against the police department. We're very pro-police, pro-military. But when an officer is doing something inappropriate, Screwdriver and I do not mind, and we're not uncomfortable jumping our bikes and going down to the police station or the mayor's office and sitting down and say, we want a meeting with this man and his supervisor because this is not appropriate. Now, for some people, that makes it sound like we're troublemakers. I don't think so at all. I think we identify a problem, and we're just trying to come up with a solution. I'm not wasting my time filing charges. I'm saying, I want the man to speak to us. I want a supervisor to speak to us. This is going on. Is this the type of action we want? There's a lot of great cops in Oceanside, but if anybody in any form of with a uniform is abusing his or her authority, I think they should be counted to a task, and screwed and I do. So we're not always loved, but I hope we're respected.
You know, and if you guys got a minute, I'm gonna Alicia. Right now we have Alicia on the phone from Pennsylvania, and we've got.
I'm still here.
We've got Kat from calling from Canada, and you guys are in Oceanside, California. But just so you guys know, this is what do you call this, Bill? My dedicated song to the Pigs in Blue? Any law enforcement? How do we care?
Yeah, a tribute song.
This is a tribute song, so I want to give you guys a second to check this one out. Out of this one, because this is every once in a while I get in a mood, and
you're a lady, be happy to hear that.
I get these strange
every few months, whether you need or not.
Yeah, I get these vibes where I need to just vent something. So this one is the one I'm going to vent right now, because
how do you feel about the government? How's it? Is the government okay? Are they okay?
Fucking government sucks. In fact, we could play that one too. But right now, this is of the one word, Bill. So you guys, check this one out.
Perhaps one of the most interesting words in the English language today is the word fuck. Out of all of the English words that begin with the letter F, fuck is the only word that is referred to as the F word. It's the one magical word, just by its sound, can describe pain, pleasure, hate, and love. Fuck, as most words in the English language, is derived from German, the word fricken, which means to strike. In English, fuck falls into many grammatical categories. As a transitive verb, for instance, John fucked Shirley. As an intransitive verb, Shirley fucks. Its meaning is not always sexual. It can be used as an adjective, such as John's doing all the fucking work. Shirley too fucking much. As an adverb enhancing an adjective, Shirley is fucking beautiful. As a noun, I don't give a fuck. As part of a word, abso-fucking-lutely, or in-fucking-credible. And as almost every word in a sentence, fuck the fucking fuckers. But you must realize there aren't too many words with the versatility of fuck, as in these examples describing situations such as fraud, got fucked at the used car lot, dismay.
That's pretty good.
I
like
really
that.
With me, buddy. Healthy. I don't understand this fucking question. Inquiry. Who the fuck was that? dissatisfaction. Fuck is going on here? Missile, why don't you go outside and play hide and go? A more example. With all of these multi-purpose applications, how can anyone be offended when you use the word? We say, use this unique, flexible word more often in your daily speech. Your character immediately. Say it loudly and proudly. Fuck you.
That's pretty good.
Boys and girls, it's just a word. It does, all of you say, oh, I don't like to use that language. Word. Lighten up. Let's go, word.
All right, well, I have to go.
Oh, no.
Done.
Really?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Why do you have to go?
Because I got to get some things done, and it's 3 hours later than where you are. I'm actually getting over a cold.
Yeah, we were just kidding. He was kidding. No, we appreciate you calling in.
No, I wasn't kidding.
Hey,
to
we
go
appreciate
anywhere.
You calling in. And if you want to send some more stuff for the blog, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll definitely send in more pictures. We'll get those out this week or beginning of next week. We'll send
if you
them.
Get them to me by Sunday, there's a good shot for next week.
Oh, okay. All right, let me see what we can do if we can get them out there. I don't know, the way that the mail's going now, it'll probably take a lot longer than it normally would, because now they're saying that first class is going to take an extra couple days.
Okay.
Thank you, Mike. Before we leave, don't forget, help your vets wherever you can out there. We're calling in tonight.
Definitely.
We appreciate it.
Okay, thanks. Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Mr. Pete, are you there? Hello, Pete.
I think he took a breath. He's holding it.
Hello, Pete.
978. You're on. You're live. Talk to us. I wonder if he's still holding his breath.
I have no idea, Bill.
Maybe we can back to him.
What's going on up in Canada?
Canada, is it nice and warm up there at this time of the year?
It's not snowing yet. But it's not too bad out.
Are you mostly in the English part of Canada or the French speaking part of Canada?
I'm in the French part of speaking Canada.
Okay.
I'm in Quebec.
Okay, Quebec, yes.
A lot of things going on in Quebec, Bill.
Quebec is a rough town for most.
Pretty good, it's quiet.
Quebec just has a tough neighborhood. And then again, there's pretty tough boys up there because they got that nasty cold weather.
Yep.
Something cut out. Quebec, you still with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
We cut out on us.
No, I think Pete's having trouble with his phone.
He's having trouble with his something, I'm sure.
He's been unmuted, but we can't hear him.
Sometimes he does strange things that I don't think we really want to see.
Pete, are you there?
Yeah, all I can say is that if Verizon, the phone company Verizon, is listening, that you suck, and you never showed up to fix. You never showed up to fix my fucking internet today on my phone. You suck. I'm sick of paying you $165 a month for nothing. Thank God for cell phones. Honest to God. I was just calling in. I tried three times. My damn phone line outside is messed up. They never showed up to fix it today. Pay these guys big money down here. They're pirates, man. You know,
you're going to be like everybody else. Fuck it. Don't pay the bill.
Well, then they shut me off, and I'm fucking depressed. So I called them up. I said, where's the guy? He's supposed to come here today. You know, we talked to the guy on the phone yesterday from repair. We'll be there tomorrow, you know. Never showed up. Called up. The lady says, oh, no, we can't come till Saturday. I says, oh, yeah, funny, though. You want $200 from me, though, you know. But I got to wait till Saturday to get my service back up. Pain in the ass. And I'm sick of going on the internet through my phone. I can't see the screen. It's too friggin' small. I called in earlier for my cell phone because the state police will pull me over on the highway. And
well, You know, you brought that up today. I got pulled over by Homeland Security, Bill.
Well, the type of work you do, the way you look, you're questionable. Get a haircut. How old? I mean, you're a haircut, for Christ's sakes.
I'll never cut my hair, man. I'm growing it longer just to piss them off more.
Well,
getting more tattoos on top of it.
Well, I had a feeling there was somebody, you know, with a badge, but I wasn't sure. But, yeah, it was two guys from Homeland Security. Pulled me over on I-5 today.
Maybe they
really?
Found you.
I don't know.
That's an unusual traffic stop.
Yeah. Well, you know, he got up next to me, and he looked like they were undercover, and he kept staring at me while he was driving. I mean, might have had the fact.
Stop blowing them kisses! I told you that.
No,
before,
no, no.
God
might have been that. Might have been that. Get the international. Atlantic.
Christ.
But no, we just got this thing in, Bill. You might want to bring this one up.
You may want to hear this. 10 citizens returned smart meters to utility today in Capitola. Close enough to me, Northern California, 10 citizens quietly and courageously returned their smart meters back to the
PG&E.
Not yet. I'm working on it, though. They had private, qualified help replacing their smart. What the hell? I don't want to read the whole thing. Get back to why. Get me down to where why.
Right here.
What's going on? Oh, here we go. No, this is.
Right here.
Okay. It was a decision that could stop the torture and save their health. They felt they had to do it. What a shame in America that it had come to this. Look forward to better days, but only if America would stand up for their rights. They're telling everybody December 14th will be California, return your smart meter back. Today's action is only the beginning. Well, that's kind of interesting in there. Now, what is this condensed down? What are they doing exactly, though? I don't want anybody getting bored with my reading. Why are they turning it back?
Well, because they're making people sick, Bill.
Taking them sick from the meters.
From the meters.
Oh. You know,
in fact, we have
7 bucks down.
No problem.
What's that, a calendar?
Yeah.
Thank you. Got my friends on the phone here. Hello.
$7? What'd you say?
Hey, I got to put somebody on the radio here. The guy's delivering my Chinese food. Say hi to it. It's a radio show. Say hi to everybody.
Yeah, how are you?
Hello, tell us who you are, where you're from, what's your organization, please.
I want to know your name and where
you... In my name?
Yeah. No,
the business,
Walk and Roll Restaurant.
Yeah,
Air. Air, Massachusetts. Wait a minute, what's the phone number down there? 978? Yeah, 772-2856.
4526.
I'm sorry, 4526. Thank you. Best Chinese food in town. His door's open. See you later. Yeah, so, yep. Good food there. Walk and Roll, that's the name of the place.
There you go.
Ugh.
Hey, what's this about some DVD coming out, Pete?
Oh, that's been out, man.
What?
Hold on, Bill. I made a document, well, not me. Independent filmmaker made a documentary about me several months ago, and finally it's finished. The website is www.mylifemydeathmylifethemovie.com. I'll say it again. www.mylifemydeathmylifethemovie.com. The film is by Josh Preville, who's a young man that makes independent films. And he approached me to make a movie about my crazy life. So probably almost a year ago, I said, yes, we did it. Took a lot of hard work, a lot of editing, and now it's available on the website. So, it's a good film. It's a self-help film, you know.
Is this something about what you're doing now in your life, or is it talk about 40 years ago, in America, or what's the gist of the film?
What it starts from is I start from when I'm a child, when my father left me at two he knocked up my stepmother, that's why I have a half brother. And my mother struggled, to feed us and keep us warm and love us. And then my stepfather came onto the scene, and for 17 years he was in Vietnam. He'd just gotten out of Vietnam, and he was in the bush, so he was in a lot of heavy combat. He was messed up. My mother met him. He put us through hell for 17 years. physically and mentally. And I did a lot of things I shouldn't have done to deal with the pain, you know. And I traveled that road for so many years. He ended up passing away, my stepfather. My father just died 3 months ago. So, you know, over the years I've done, you name it, I've done it to deal with the pain, and that's all in the film. And it's how basically, you know, I've had 3 heart attacks because of my lifestyle. You know, I have Crohn's disease, which I was born with. It's an intestinal disorder. There's no cure for that. Depression, severe depression, other health problems, liver problems, heart problems, everything problems because of the way I decided to live my life. But I got better, and that's what the film is about. It's for people that are struggling with an addiction or, you know, a tough childhood, any type of abuse. And the film is just 90 minutes long. It's a decent film. It was, you know, it was tough for me to do it because I had to talk about a lot of things. You know, my stepfather, talking about that hurt, 17 years at home with him, talking about my father hurt because my father just died 3 months ago of lung cancer. And, you know, then talking about, obviously, my problems that I had with the police, that I still have the police, the courts, you know, my bad habits, but how I got through it all. And that the bottom line there is, you know what, anybody, you can have the most messed up life, anybody can change their life for the better. Anybody, you know. And it was tough for me. But I did it. I'm still here. I'm 42 years old. And a lot of people, you know, don't even know I have a film. I put it on Facebook and stuff. I don't, you know, I don't promote it as much as I should, I guess. I was talking to the filmmaker today, and we're going to try to promote it a few other different ways. But the people that have bought it so far have been happy with it because it's really a self-help film, help people. Gino's in it, my brother's in it, my mother is in it, my dogs are in it, the police are in it. The police are in it watching me. The whole thing is, the whole film is just, it's a variety of stuff, but there's no violence.
Which famous actor?
You know.
Is it Brad Pitt playing your part?
No, I played myself, actually. I've been told I'm a pretty good actor, and Brad Pitt ain't got shit on me, first of all. I know he lives out there by you guys. If I was going to have somebody to play me in a real movie like that, it'd probably be Val Kilmer. I really like Val Kilmer. I think he did an excellent job on the Wonderland murders involving John Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he played John Holmes in a movie called Wonderland. I love Val Kilmer. Brad Pitt, to me, is just a pretty boy, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think his acting's that great, you know. I don't think he plays a good villain. Val Kilmer can play anything. He played Jim Morrison in the Doors movie. I think he's one of the best. He's just underrated, you know. He's highly underrated, man. So, anyway, that's what the film's about. And, you know, if somebody wants it, and they, you know, we're not giving them all free because it costs us money to make the film, but if somebody really, really wanted one, they couldn't afford it, I can get them one, you know. Just contact me, and I'll give
good
you
question
one.
For you. Ready now? Get your thinking cap on. Marlon Brando in the movie The Wild Ones. Who'd you take after, Marlon Brando or Lee Marvin?
Marlon Brando, for sure. No doubt about it.
You think so?
Yeah.
I thought Lee Marvin was my guy.
No.
Especially when Marlon Brando knocked him right over that bike. I said, wow, Marvin looks like a real biker to me.
Well, you know, I don't know, like Gino said that to me. I tried to call him Gino on the line earlier, but my house phone was so messed up it didn't work. Gino says to me, I got a new leather jacket. My girlfriend bought me a new biker, a motorcycle jacket. It's nice, like a $400 jacket. And Gino says, hey, you know, it was his. He bought it brand new and it didn't fit him. He's way too big for the jacket. He says, have your girlfriend get it for you for an early birthday, Christmas present. So she did, and you know, I picked it up for cheap for $100. He sold me the jacket for $100. Anyway, he said to me, I put it on. He says, now you look like Marlon Brando. And at first I didn't connect that with the movie because the last movie that I saw Marlon Brando in was Apocalypse Now, and he was totally bald. And as you guys know, I'm not totally bald. I have hair down past my waist. So I'm thinking, how do I look like Marlon Brando? He's bald. He was bald, you know, and then I'm thinking Apocalypse Now. I'm like, wait a minute, The Wild One. I had to go back to the 50s, you know, because I wasn't thinking, yeah, The Wild One. That's an old movie.
You know, and I go that far back, you know, we're pretty old.
I know, you guys, you and Gino go that far back. I don't, you know, I wasn't born until 69, but I've seen the movie a few times, and I don't know. I, it was, he decent movie. I mean, way ahead of its time, I think. You know, black and white and all. But, yeah, so I'm not a movie star, and, you know, some people are saying, oh, you know, yo, this is great, and all, so, you know, can you autograph? And I'm like, I'll autograph it, but, you know, I'm just a guy that went through hell, came out, went back in again, and came out again, and I came out clean. You know, and every day is a struggle for me and millions of other people, because if you have any type of addiction or you know, mental illness or physical illness, every day is a struggle, man. But you have to keep moving. You got to keep have hope and faith, you know. And that's what kept me alive, because I should have been dead many times. I mean, I'm talking 30 ODs, 3 heart attacks, you know, you name it. I've been stabbed, shot, beat up, you know, whatever. Hit in the face with a 2x4, hit in the face with a bottle. I used to hit people in the face with a bottle. I did all kinds of shit. But
Make sure I got this film correct.
What's that?
The movie is not about. The message you're not trying to say is watch my movie and see the changes I made and be like me. What you're saying is these are the changes I made to improve myself. And if you want to make the changes to improve yourself, you got to get up and do something to make the changes. So you're not like preaching to the choir. You're saying, hey, these are things
you've
got to find your own way to make the changes, right?
That's right. You have to look inside yourself. I can't change you. You can watch the film and maybe get inspired by it and inspired by the film to change, but I can't change you. God himself can't even change you. You have to change yourself. You've got to look deep inside yourself. If you're fucking your life up, you have to look deep inside yourself and just, you know, you could fall 1,000 times before you get better. I did, you know. And I'm not saying I don't fall now, because I still do, you know. That's the way I was brought up. I was brought up rough. My stepfather was not a nice man, and he, you know, he did anything, everything from physical to mental abuse to trying to burn the house down. Cut my couch in half, the family couch in half, with a chainsaw, because he said half was his, and my mother was throwing him out. So that's the type of shit my brother and I went through growing up, you know. And my mother loved him, and she wouldn't leave him. And We as a result of him hanging around for 17 years, I got most of it because my brother is older than me, and he wasn't around most of the time. I was the one. I was just a kid, and it was 24-hour, 7-day-a-week abuse, especially around the holidays. But, yeah, that is my message, you know. You know, at first, you know, when we made the film, I says, you know, what type of film do you want to make here? And he's like, well, you know, let's make a biker type film. I says, no, I want to make an all-around everything film, to help people. You know, I don't want to talk about all biker stuff and fights and all that. People do want to hear that. You know, violence sells. You guys live in California, you know, Hollywood, you know, hey, that stuff sells. But this is a reality film, man. And it's real. Everything in it's real out of my mouth, you know, to the tears in my eyes. Those tears in my eyes are real. And my mother is in the film, and the tears in her eyes are real. And my brother is in the film, and the tears in his eyes are real. Everything in the film is real, and it's a film that you can watch, and you might just think about you, make you think about your life, and say, you know what, jeez, wow, this guy made it through all this, and I just got a couple problems. You know, I can make it, but I lost a lot of good friends to drugs, to suicides.
People have gambling problems.
What's that?
That's the question I was going to ask about over the course of years. Did you remind people that a lot of our friends paid a big price?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And somehow we made it through, but a lot of our friends, like I tell everybody, I know you can appreciate this, I have more people I call brothers in the cemetery than I have friends out in the street. I got friends
That's
everywhere.
That's right.
The country, I mean,
That's
it
very true.
Brothers in the cemeteries.
That's very true, Bill. You're right. And let me tell you something. And death will come for you if you don't cut the crap. And, you know, there's a bunch of us that are, you know, like me, Gino, my brother, we're all survivors. You guys, you know, we've been through it. But we're not invincible, you know. Anybody can die at any time. And, you know, I mean, I push it to the extreme of my life, you know. You want to talk about a crazy life. I mean, and I'm only 42 years old. And you know, I just had to. Every time I hit the floor, it was because of a bad choice I made, whether it was a heart attack or an overdose or a fight I was in or whatever. And it's bullshit. It's a bullshit to a dead-end street, all of it. I go to these classes, and I teach classes here down the street, and they're alcohol and drug classes, and I try to teach people, you know, hey, I show them my driver's license from before I got sick, and they can't believe the difference between me now and then. And they look at me now, and they think I'm using now, and I'm like, no, I'm not using. I'm clean. I'm doing good. But that picture of me, my driver's license, where I'm all clean cut and nice looking, healthy looking, that's when I have my biggest problem. So it doesn't discriminate, you know. I was a functioning addict with everything. I did everything, man. Gambling was probably my worst downfall. Gambling's worse than drugs in some cases. I have friends that have killed themselves because they lost their house through gambling, you know, and they went and put a shotgun in their mouth and blew their brains out because they lost the house. Couldn't send the kids to school. So all of it, it's all, we all like to have fun, you know, but you got to get to a point that you say enough is enough, man. You know, it's shit's going to kill you. And it didn't kill me, but it almost did. You know, 3 confirmed heart attacks, the last one being last year. That was my final one, and I said, no more of this. And, you know, from then till now, I do get the occasional chest pains. I take medication for my heart. But I thank God that I don't live that lifestyle anymore, because I'd be dead. You know, you wouldn't be talking to me right now. You might be talking about me being in a cemetery, but you wouldn't be talking to me. I'd be dead, man. I'd be dead. And
you got a point, Joe. People say that Screwdriver and I, oh, they're AA and NA and all that. No, we're not none of those damn things. Well, Screwdriver and I have realized the fact that we have decided to take full responsibility for all of our action. I don't ever want to be in a bar and say, oh, man, I didn't mean to get in that fight. I was drunk. Whatever I do, it's because I'm responsible for it. For me, I gave drugs and alcohol up, not because I thought I was abused or anything. I wasn't in control. The rest of my life, everything I do is, it's my responsibility. It's my fault. I ain't blaming nobody for nothing ever in my life.
Yeah, no, I used to blame everybody, Bill. You know, that's the thing. I used to blame my mother and accuse my mother. You know, I'd blame my mother and say, this is your fight, you know. I'm getting messed up tonight because of you, because of my stepfather. You know, I blame him. I blame my father. I blame my mother. I blame my brother. I blame everybody. And I stopped blaming a long time ago because I realized that it was me. I was the one doing the damage to myself. There was nobody else. Nobody was putting a gun in my head telling me to use anything or to gamble or to beat somebody up. I did it. I chose to do it, you know, and I know that now, but I didn't. I was, for the longest time, I was stubborn like that. I didn't want to. I said, no, no, there's reasons, you know. My father was never around. My stepfather beat me, you know. Whatever it was. I blame everybody else. And then one day he says, no, it's not them, it's me. And that's when I started to get better. You know, so there is.
I know when I was at a bar, I used to like to tell myself after a while, I'd say to my buddy next to me, that guy ain't so big. I can take him.
Well, that's like the two drunks.
And I didn't take most of them.
That's like the two drunks sitting in the bar, Bill, and the guy said, hey, look at those two assholes over there. That's us in 10 years. And the guy said, you're looking in the mirror.
That's it.
You know what I said to somebody the other day? They said to me, they asked me, they said, Pete, how do I begin to heal? How do I begin to get better, to change for the better? What's my solution? Where do I go? What do I do? You know what I said to him? I said, you want to know your solution? Go in the bathroom, take a look in the mirror. There's your solution. You.
You.
That's the solution. Nobody's going to fix you but you. God himself couldn't fix you. You know? And I'm far from a religious person, but I do believe in God. But, you know, God himself cannot fix us. We have to fix ourselves. And,
I'm more spiritual. I think there's no cathedral in the world more beautiful than the sun setting over the ocean. I got my own choices. I don't necessarily think I have to walk into a building with a bunch of other people all dressed up in a suit to pray this and that and all that. In fact, I'm a businessman. My job is to cut out the middleman. If I want to talk to my God, I'm going to talk directly right to him. And I'm going to tell you this, I've never been suicidal, but many a day I've been blasting down by the coast. Sun coming down, it's beautiful, and I say, you know, God, take me today. I got no complaints at all. So that's how I talk to my God.
Right on, man. Yeah, you know, you gotta know when to quit with this lifestyle, man. You know, I mean, I'm used to getting harassed and all that, but like today, I was with Gino today, and he's not feeling good. And his back, he had a back surgery a few months ago, and it's, you know, he's in a lot of pain, and we're driving through the parking lot of the CVS pharmacy, and this guy come whipping around the corner in a pickup truck, a big pickup truck, and we're in Gino's little Toyota that he drives. It's his mother's car, actually. And the guy almost hits us, and he was coming down a one-way street, and Gino says, you, this and that. He's swearing at the guy, and, you know, Gino's X1%, a big dude, you know. He's don't take crap from anybody, but he's like me. He's definitely changed, but he still has that in him. If he needs to do something, he'll do it, you know. But the guy stopped, and he put his window down to yell at Gino, and he saw how big he was, you know, the tattoos and everything. He seen me in there. He didn't say anything. And when Gino drove off, he says, I would have liked to have gotten out of the car and educated him a little bit, you know. And I says, no, fuck it. It ain't worth it unless the guy swings at you or something, you know. He was scared. He took off, you know, he put his window back up. The guy was probably 110 pounds, you know, soaking wet. And here's Gino and I, I'm 250, he's 280, you know. And the guy stops to threaten us. And I told him, I said, hey, just keep going. It ain't worth it. You know, what's he going to do? Yell you from his window? Get out of the car, he's going to go run into the hills. So, but the point with all that is you know, I'm no goody two-shoes, and I don't go looking for fights. But if somebody swings at me or pushes me, they're going to get knocked out, you know, and they will swallow whatever teeth they have left in their mouth. If that ever happens, I will defend myself. I think anybody would if they were pushed. But I don't.
You know, I tell you, one of the many instances that kind of made me start to think, and I got to start getting my own life together, the old days when we used to be at a cemetery, we would lower the body ourselves, not the people that worked there. We lower the bodies. We put the dirt in. Everybody shovels the dirt in that. We passed the joint around. We passed the Jack Daniels around. We did this ourselves with the people that run the cemetery just waiting for us to leave. One of the funerals I went to, and it was a club funeral, and as we were leaving, one of the guys up front crashed his motorcycle in the cemetery. Six of us plowed into each other. So my next consciousness was I'm leaving the cemetery. Next thing, I'm sitting on my ass on somebody's gravesite. Six motorcycles scattered everywhere because we were too fucked up. We shouldn't have been riding at all. I don't want to quit riding. I don't want to blame anything. I just realize I will not allow drugs and alcohol. One of the many instances that said to me, hey, be responsible for yourself, Bill. Stop letting this other stuff take effect in your life. Picture that laying in the cemetery. Bikers on the ground, you know, stupid.
Back in 1988 or 89, I can't remember the exact year, my cousin, who was in a club, his name was Eddie Holman from Middleton, Massachusetts, and he had been under the influence of a few things with his brother, and got on his bike, and I think he had an iron head or something. Parts used to fall off of it when he drove down the highway. But he drove down, he was doing about 100 down the highway, and he went off the highway, and he hit a tree, and his head, he snapped his neck, and his head spun around, and he died, obviously. And, you know, they had to, at his funeral, he's probably 1,000 bikers there at his funeral, his wake, they had to, they had to fix his whole head and his whole body, and it's just like, wow. And that's all a result of, you know, he had put some stuff in his system. He wasn't in control of his motorcycle. He was doing over 100 miles an hour with his brother. His brother was fine. He didn't wipe out. Eddie hit the tree, and he's the one, he died. And, you know, screw that. You know, I remember being a young kid, and remembering the funeral and how the tons of the Hell's Angels and, you know, supporters, and they would roll down the hill and go to his funeral. They went to his funeral, and that really, I was like, wow. And I never understood how he died until later on in life when my father told me. He said, yeah, he was shooting dope. He was shooting dope with his brother, and it's no big secret. And he hit a tree doing 100, and his head snapped. His neck broke his neck. And so, I don't know. It's just, like I said, man, it's no route to go. We all like to get fucked up, you know, and but you have to know where to draw the line.
Yeah, I'm in the bar like three times a week, and I'm sitting there drinking a pineapple juice, and people walk up. First of all, the barmaids love me. As soon as I drive into the bar, the noise level drops. because all the drunks try to act sober. Man, be cool. Bill's here. Be trying to act cool. So I sit there and have a drink, and a lot of people walk up to me and they say, Bill, when do you think it's time to cut back? And I say, when you have to ask me the question. Then when I get ready to go, as soon as I get ready to go, I got to tell you, I'm in the bar now, and everybody's drinking all that, and everybody wants to run up and hug me and tell me how much they love me. Now, let me tell you the problem is, it's just goddamn drunken guys. Nobody sends their old ladies over to tell me that. Everybody wants to hug me. When I leave the bar, the noise level goes up. If not this weekend, next weekend, another one of my foolish friends, DUI, crash, et cetera, et cetera. It's right in front of your face. You're at a bar, you messed up, you crash, you get DUI. Don't act like, oh, I don't believe it happened. We repeat the mistakes over and over and over. I can't tell anybody to stop drinking. It's not my job. But
no. Like, look at me. You know, I mean, look at me. You think by seeing my cousin being lowered into the ground after crashing on his motorcycle doing 100 on drugs that I would have got something from that and said later on in life and said, oh, I ain't going to do that. But, you know, I did. You know, I just was lucky enough to live. So, you know, you're right. We have, you know, nobody can fix us, but you certainly can lean on other people. Like me, Bill, Phil, people have been through it. Anybody listening, lean on somebody if you have a problem. A lot of people lean on me for some reason. But, you know, I can't. I have so many friends that are dead, like you, Bill. Like you said, you know, in the cemetery. Your friends are all in the cemetery. And these are people that have come to me many times. Oh, I need help, please. I know you've been through it. You know, I know you're not perfect, but you're pretty clean now. You're doing good. Help me. And I'm like, okay, let's get you in a detox. Like, let's get you here. Let's do this. And then I find out a few months later they're dead from an overdose. Oh, they got a car accident.
Let me stop you there, because the problem is, and I see this in the bar, a friend of mine says, I'm going to try to knock off drink. As soon as they get to the bar, those friends of mine that are drinking heavy, they want to buy him a drink. They want to get him drunk because drinkers want people to drink with them. People are taking drugs, want other people to take drugs with them. If I'm at a party and you're doing something narcotics, you look at me, most people feel a little bit guilty. Oh, shit, Bill's not taking it, blah, blah, blah. So my friends that try to quit, it's their goddamn friends that are getting them back hooked on it, alcohol or drugs. These aren't real friends. They just don't want to be alone. They want to drink and want to take their drugs. Who the hell needs people like that, you know?
Yeah. It's not an easy road, man, to walk clean, you know, or ride clean, but it can be done. You know, somebody once said to me, they said, Pete, how many old drug addicts do you know of? And off the top of my head, you know, I could really only think of one that's still alive, and that would be Keith Richards from the Rolling Stones, who's 67 years old, who probably still does stuff here and there, I'm guessing. You know, I don't know any old drug addicts. They're all dead, you know. They all died many years ago. I know a lot of old alcoholics for some reason, but not too many. You know, same thing. They either their liver rotted out, or they crashed their car, or they crashed their bike, or they're in prison.
You know what's sad, too, is take drugs. A guy can take alcohol. It's going to age him. But, God, how many beautiful women have we known that the drugs and alcohol have taken their faces and aged them so badly, you're thinking,
oh yeah.
Man, I can't sleep with that thing, you know?
The alcohol, meth is, I can't believe, I've never done that drug and I know people that do it, and I just can't believe how beautiful some of these girls once were and how they look
quickly.
So old now, you know? And
restaurant the other day, and this friend of mine, she had a beautiful daughter, and the girl came up, how you doing, blah, 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 and out of the blue, I said, hey, how's your daughter doing all that? And then the daughter said, Bill, it's me. My mother's at the house, and I went.
Oh, my God, yeah.
The daughter aged so much in her face because it's total drug and alcohol addiction. I mean, total both of them. The daughter aged so much, I confused the daughter for the mother. That's just unbelievable. And the girl was drop-dead, serious, gorgeous when she was younger, before the drugs and alcohol got her.
Yeah, that's freaky. And that's happened to me.
Yeah.
Definitely confused people for other people. And yeah. So the message here is don't do those things, or if you're doing them, cut down and get the hell off of them. Drugs or alcohol or gambling, all three.
Yeah, I try to tell my friends, I'm not here to preach to you. I'll never tell you what to do. But if you have to question it for a second, you know it's time to make some adjustments in your life.
The toughest time I had when I got clean was accepting life normal without any type of chemical. Because when you're on a chemical, whether it's alcohol or drugs, as you guys know, your brain changes. So, you know, you need more of that drug or alcohol every day to feel normal. And then when you finally get clean, it seems like life is so boring, you know. But it's really not. You just have to rediscover it, you know. And it takes time. It takes a long time. It's still taking me time. You know, I get bored a lot. And I'm like, wow, you know, if I was using something right now or gambling, my endorphins in my brain would be off, blowing off the roof, you know. And I'd be feeling so good that I'm like, geez, that's just a fake high is what that is, you know. People need to learn to enjoy real highs, you know. Time with the friends, time with a girlfriend, your wife, you know, going out to a movie, to dinner, taking a ride on your motorcycle, going to listen to a band, stuff like that. That's the way, those are the things you're supposed to be doing, not the opposite. And it's tough for me. I struggle every day, but I'm still here, and I haven't, you know, I've slipped a few times, you know, but got right back up, you know. And I don't like to preach to anybody either, but people do ask me how I did it, and I'm still doing it. I'll do it till I'm dead. You will always.
I can tell you, I'm better off here in America than when I was in like 10 years with my Mexican club days down there. In they take Tijuana, Revolution Street. The bar closes 6 o'clock in the morning for 1.5 hour to be cleaned up. It's back open at 6:30. 3 o'clock in the morning, I want to go for a drink. I want to go to party. The bars are literally open 23 and a half hours. That's a tough road. If you're by yourself, you start getting antsy, 4 or 5 in the morning, hey, it's still there. At least being in America, 1:30, the bar is closed. No use going out causing trouble. It's all closed down. But being in Mexico, having that 24 hours in my face, that's tough. That's tough to give up, guys.
That's very tough. And you know what? New York City's like that. When I used to go to a party in New York, they'd close the bar for an hour. They'd clean up, they'd clean the bar up, sweep the floor up, and they'd open back up at 5 a.m.
Yep.
And you know what? I'd be there at 5 a.m. going back in New York City. So.
You know, I got to tell you, I was coming back from into Mexico, and I stopped at Tijuana once. It was a holiday. It was Mother's Day. It was on a Sunday, it was Mother's Day, and I decided to drive by the local whorehouse. I want to see what type of women work on a Sunday morning at 8 o'clock in the morning on Mother's Day. And I'm going to tell you, I said to myself, after looking at these ladies working, I said, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. I don't want to end up like this. This is sad. Mother's Day, 8 o'clock in the morning, I'm at the whorehouse, and my selections are... Phew. No, it was zero selections. It was sad. But you know what? You keep drinking, you keep doing drugs and all that. It's the way you end up. But in America, of course, we don't have all that, so I don't have so much temptations.
Yeah. I can't even imagine.
You would have liked being in Mexico, Pete. You would have liked being in Mexico. I guarantee you that.
3.5 hours, the bars. I mean, I'm not a drinker. I was never a drinker. I was more of the other thing, but, you know, I definitely have my good times. Like, yeah, 20, the bar that's open 23 and a half hours, that's great. Like, when I went to, like I said, when I used to go to New York City to party, the bar would close at, you know, they'd close for a couple hours. They weren't open no 23 and a half hours. They were probably open 22 hours. And I thought that was a lot. But, man, a bar that's open almost 24 hours with women and all kinds of crazy shit going on, oh, my God, that's my worst nightmare now, where it used to be my dream, you know. But no more of that, man. No more of that.
The goal back in the days, my goal was to try to get to where I was staying before the sun comes up. That was my only goal. Pretty simple attitude in life.
Yeah.
The party, I'm going to hang all night. 15, 20 minutes before the sun comes up, I'm going to get on my bike and haul ass to where I'm staying just so I can get home before the sun comes up. Not much to live for, but it seemed to hold me out for a long time.
That the whole Mexican thing, right, reminds me of the bars and the strippers and everything you're talking about. Reminds me of the movie From Dusk Till Dawn.
Oh, you know, I flash on that a little bit. Of course, we don't have all the crazies in there, but everything else reminded me. I went, oh, I'm home. I'm home. These are my people. Drugs, falling down, crazy people, whores. But, again, you can't live that lifestyle.
Bill, you know what, though? Bill, you're still here, man. You're still here. That's a good thing.
I asked my grandmother once. I asked my grandma. I said, Grandma, you know my lifestyle. Went, why do you think I'm here? My grandma wasn't deep, deep religious either, but she said, Bill, I think God's not done with you yet. She said, that's all I can figure out. Whatever you're here for, we don't know, but obviously God's not done with you yet because you can't live that lifestyle. And I'm 63 in March. So a couple of months, I'm 63 years old. I ride 7 days a week. Screw it, I still go into Mexico and all that, but not like the old days. I see some of the old bike clubs, but everybody's new. Some of the new heavy-hitting motorcycle clubs today, there's no old guys there anymore. There's one or two if I'm lucky. Everybody else is new people. And they always say, Bill, come here, meet some of our new people. I don't want to meet the new people. I don't care. If you're not riding with the club 5 or 10 years, I don't want to get to know you. The people today are just different than they were a long time ago. So I'm being a bit of a crotchety old guy, I guess, but you ain't an old guy. And by old guy, I don't mean numerical years. I mean, if you're not in the club 5, 10 years or more, I don't want to get to know you. You may not last long enough.
Yeah, I'm kidding. I try to reach a lot of young people with my stuff, you know. That really bothers me like I did.
Yeah.
I'm an instructor at this class two nights a week, and we had this class. It was on a Monday night, and it was all young people, and there was like 30 of them. I went in, and I stood out, obviously, and they thought it was a joke that they had to be there. And they says, well, I'll tell you what your alternative is. And they're like, what's that? It says, bars. And they say, what do you mean? I says, if you don't complete this 24D class, that's what it's called in Massachusetts, 24D class, I says, you're going to prison. You know, you ain't going to like it. And I'm like, well, I just got to do that. You know, I said, no. I said, you got 16 weeks here. You might as well get used to it, you know. And then they were like, oh. And kind of scared them a little bit, you know, because they thought about it. A couple of pretty boys in the class. I said, you ain't going to like prison, you know. Might as well just stick out the class, try to learn something. It's really sad, though, the amount of young people that get arrested for underage drunk driving in this state and everywhere. You know, it's really sad, man. I can't believe it.
You know, another reason why I stopped drugs and alcohol, I got to tell you, is by my count, I was in 100 bar fights, and I lost 99 of them. Now, the one fight that I won, that person keeps demanding a rematch, but it's not
my fault. I don't
believe
that, man.
Not my fault she showed up drunk, right?
Yeah, I knew there was something with that. You won more than one fight in your time, Bill. Come on, you're from Boston, bro. You know?
All right.
You're from Dorchester. Aren't you from Dorchester, Bill?
Dorchester and Boston.
Yeah, that's a tough area, man.
I lived at Columbia Point Housing Project. You know where that used to be?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's rough.
Where the Kennedy Library is now. But, yeah, that was fifth floor apartment, 1346, 119 Monticello Avenue. Actually, I don't know. It was between Dorchester and Southie. I don't know what Columbia Point actually classified is now. Right on the beach, though.
That's a rough area, man, right there. Real
rough.
Oh,
yeah. I was in gangs, street gangs, by the fourth grade.
I'll tell you what.
First one was the Golden Knights. Worked my way up to the Gems.
South Boston is all Irish, and Dorchester is all black. So you get neighborhoods fighting all the time. You know, Southie's.
So if looking at Southie, you got the beach and you got Dorchester. Columbia Point Housing Project, it was like right in the middle or just off to the end. I really don't remember now if I classified Dorchester or Southie. I don't. Maybe it was
They're
Dorchester.
All connected, really. You know,
yeah, what
Dorchester,
the hell?
Mattapan, Southie. What's the other one? What am I thinking of here? Dorchester, Mattapan, Roxbury, they're all Southie, they're all connected basically. You know, it's Boston. It's all Boston. Boston police patrol all the towns, cities. So they're all connected really. I mean, think about it. Southie's gotten worse.
I went back 2 years ago. I didn't like it at all. I didn't like anything about it at all.
The only good part of that area there is Gino went to the other day, a few days ago, to help a friend, West Roxbury. That's a nice area, man. It's million-dollar houses there. That's a nice area. But the rest of Boston sucks. Dirty, crime, drugs, hookers everywhere, you know, rats running around. Nasty. I wouldn't want to live in the city. I live north of Boston, probably 35 minutes. I wouldn't want to live in the city.
That's why I'm a biker. And you can understand why here. My family never owned a car or a truck or anything. I had a bicycle, and we took the transit district everywhere we went. So when I came to California, I really had no connection or association with cars or trucks. My family never had them. But the
A lot of people don't in Boston.
Motorcycles, that made sense to me. That's how I got involved in all that. I was 25 years old before I had me a car.
You
and yet at 18, I had a Harley.
When you were living here, it used to be known as the MBTA, right?
MBTA,
Yeah, they changed the name to it to the transit now. Transit police, transit, whatever the hell it's called. They don't use MBTA anymore. Everything's transit, like New York, transit police, transit line, this line, you know, transit. No more MBTA, basically. But, it was nice talking to you guys, and thanks for letting me speak.
No worries. You want to call in Tuesday, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry about the phone trouble, that stupid phone company.
No worries.
My cell phone.
Always. Cousins back east, we say goodnight, and everybody, all of our friends for calling in. We want to thank everybody.
Everybody.
Remember, everybody, if you can lend a vet a hand, lend a vet a hand.
Absolutely.
All right.
We're going to let Johnny Cash.
We're going to take it out of here. Johnny Cash.
Against your fellow man, but as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will